I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
One of the main reasons, like, for music in the first place is, like, for movement, like, to dance and to, like, feel. Like, sometimes you can sit and feel, and that's nice for certain types of music, but anything that has, like, drums or a beat, like, you're meant to, like, groove to it and move to it, saying, like, hey, you can move this way.
The Dad Experience.
And welcome again to The Dad Experience. Very excited about today's episode. On this episode, we have Brian, who is one half of the popular children's group and YouTubers, Cuckoo Kangaroo. They have great music. I have read when there's been some reviews of their music and who they are that they compare them to children's music crossed with the Beastie Boys, which is a great comparison. I totally agree with that. I had a chance to go check them out a few weeks back and had a blast. They're not only great for children, but they're also great for families, all the likes of families from young to old. You'll have to check them out if they come to your town. But their music is used all over the world in elementary school settings. I know because I heard a lot about them from my wife, who's used them in her classroom. They're just a lot of fun and a lot of cool things that they do to share with kids and relate to kids. So you're going to want to check them out, but really excited to get into this interview with Brian.
Welcome, Brian, to the show.
Hello.
Man, I'm super excited to talk to you. My wife and I had such a good time at your show when you were here in Detroit, and just a lot of fun, a lot of energy and a lot of fun. So I'm super glad that we get to cross paths again and talk a little bit about your journey and your family and all that good stuff.
It was so nice to meet you too. And that was such a cool space. It was so big.
Place it was huge. It was. It's neat too, because it's like, well, it's a bowling alley on one side and then a theater on the other, which is super cool. It's been there for years. I don't think I've ever seen a show there until yours, but I've been around there and I've been to the bowling alley side before.
You know, that's what we're doing. We're just trying to help people native of Detroit to, like, explore their city. You know, that's our goal as Minnesotans. You know,
absolutely. So we always start off the dad experience with asking the question, who lives with you at home? What's the makeup of your household?
Whoa, we're going deep. Well, I'm not going to reveal any of that information. So let's just hang up. Let's go. I have my wife and I, and then we have a son who's a little over two. His name's Gus.
Nice.
And he's a cool kid.
I bet. Man, you're cool. I'm sure your wife is really cool. I've never met your wife, but I'm sure she's cool. But my interactions with you, I'm sure Gus is going to grow up to be a really, really cool kid.
Yeah, he's very observant. He's super slow to warm, which is wonderful, because that's who I was. And I was super shy. I couldn't, like, do anything. I was, like, stunted by shyness until I was, like, 13 or 14 or something like that. Uh-huh. So this is all fake. Everything on this call, this is a gimmick.
I don't know. So are you telling me you have, like, an alter ego? Or
I don't, like, know. I don't think it's. I think it's so deep in my subconscious. It's just, like, it's who I am now. But when I think about who I was as a kid, it's like, how can you go from one spectrum to the other? So.
Right. Well, I can relate, man. When I was elementary, even high school, middle school, and in my freshman year of college, it was very quiet, kept to myself. I mean, I like to talk to people, but I wasn't, like, outgoing, like, get on stage, do stuff. I always wanted to be in the background. I always kind of had my close circle of friends, and I was kind of forced into it. I was sick when I was in college. It was, like, world news, and, like, that's kind of how I ended up getting thrusted into that and kind of being more outgoing. But, you know, it's all good.
Everybody blossoms at different times.
They do. And it takes something for everybody to kind of, like,
we're just little flowers.
Yeah. Waiting to bud.
But you were a band guy, you know, so what did you play in? Did you play in college band?
I did. I'm a drummer, a percussionist. My major was percussion. I played in the marching band.
Yeah, you're not a drummer in the band. You're a percussionist.
Well, professional. It depends. You know, lately these days when I get hired to do gigs, it's usually playing drum set for community theater or, you know, some local community choir. And that's kind of what it is. So I am a drummer. I mean, I'm a percussionist. Yeah.
No, I know. I was just kidding.
It's what it is.
Hey, we need somebody to play this Guys and Dolls.
Yeah. Session. Yeah. I've done Let's that go. Show before. I've done it.
Great show.
It is a good show.
Benny South Street. He's the best.
Yeah. I was gonna mention, you know, there's something to be said though, to being about, like, you know, not quick to warm up to people. You can be a little bit happy when, as they move into those, you know, later elementary school years or middle school years, they're not just going to go off and talk to anybody. You kind of, you know, they're going to be a little bit more closed off. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially, you know, in an early age.
Oh no. I mean, I don't see it as bad. I've like, actually it's helped me. Like, he's going to go at his own pace. And it also, even for our family, like I've learned to not extended family, like my parents and in-laws and stuff like that, not to like push him to be like, go talk to this person. It's almost kind of like they have to work for it too. Like, you got to work for this kid's affection. And I kind of like that a little bit.
I do. You know, I have a question for you, cause my wife, I want to hear your interpretation of it. And then I'll tell you kind of where we've stand and what I've learned from my wife on this one. Actually, how do you feel about, you know, there's parents out there that say, go give your Uncle Phil a hug. You might not have seen Uncle Phil in like 2 years, but it's like, you got to go give that kid a hug. And your kid's like, I don't know if I want to. I'm kind of shy of that, and I don't want to go give a hug. How do you feel about that? Do you have your kid go, no, go give that uncle a hug? Or are you just kind of like, no, take it at your own. Do what you got to do. How do you guys handle that?
That's just kind of what I was talking about, is that for a while, it was just like a verbal tick almost, like when he was one, like, hug this person. And it's like, what? You don't know this random person that I went to college with, you know, like, mm-hmm. Why do you have to show this affection? We've been saying like, hey, give a high five if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, doing like that. Cause it all there, it doesn't have to be that like hug. So there's, I don't know, those boundaries will like warm up. Like, I do want to like teach him how to be cordial and respectful and like, hey, there's a greeting and there's an end. There's a, like a postscript, like I'm going to be leaving, maybe a handshake, you mm-hmm. know, and if you've, cause like when you meet somebody for the first time, giving them a hug is weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, even as an adult. So mm-hmm. I would, your wife is saying, don't push the hug.
Yeah, no, we don't push it. And
oh, you're on the same page. Yeah.
I'm on the same page. I wasn't.
I thought you were trying to get me to like talk crap about your wife. It's like, come on.
No. You met my wife. She's cool. I know. I'm not. I'm going to tell you this. I was in the school of like, no, give that kid a hug, or that, you know, that uncle a hug, or that aunt a hug. And, you know, the more I think about it, it's like, well, why? It's we're putting them into a situation that they're not in control of. They're not in control of themselves. They're not we're almost, and I'm not saying this is what's happening, but it's almost like teaching them, well, you're not in control of your body. I'm in charge of you. So you go do what I'm telling you to do. Now, I want my kid to listen to me. I want my kid to be disciplined. I want my kid to be respectful. But like you said, maybe an alternate, some different social norms. Because in public, if you don't see somebody for 3 years, you may not run up and hug them if you've only met them a handful of times. You know?
No way. Yeah.
And so, but our social norm would be, go give the guy a handshake, or, you know, a girl a handshake or a fist bump or whatever. And that seems to be more effective, I would imagine. To, you know, in my experience, it's been more effective.
Yeah. And lately, just if it's not even a family member, we're just saying like, you know, just a wave is fine.
What's up?
Yeah. A little head nod.
Yeah. Just acknowledgement, those social cues. So, you know, I mentioned in your bio that you are one half of the duo Cuckoo Kangaroo. Can you tell us how that came about and where that came from?
Yeah. Our little dance duo band of Cuckoo Kangaroo. Neil and I, we met in college at St. Mary's in Winona, Minnesota. It's like a little interesting private school up in the bluffs of Winona, Minnesota, in southeastern part of the state. And we were both into music, and we lived on the same floor, and we started a band together called Book Reader, and it was just kind of like a pop rock band, kind of sounded like Hootie and the Blowfish or something. Neil played drums, I played guitar and sang, and did that all throughout college, did all kinds of different battle of bands things, different projects for variety shows. And that kind of ran its course. And Neil and I, our ethos was always like, we're going to be in a band. Like, being at college right now is to kind of like to create a backup plan, basically, you know, to like get this job so we can pursue music. I mean, maybe that was like subconsciously, but then we traveled to Europe together and started making some beats and stuff like that, because I couldn't bring my guitar, and we had seen some bands that were more interactive and kind of like broke our headspace of what a band was. And so then we started playing shows just as like Cuckoo Kangaroo, this more like interactive band. There were no drums. It was just iPod and dance moves. And we played colleges and played bars for about the first 4 years, but it was all like clean. It was more in the Twin Cities. There were some maybe like shock bands that were more like dance focused or project. And so our gimmick was to be like hyper clean, like a camp band almost, but we wanted to be really involved. We wanted you to like be involved the first time you saw us. And so we had songs about dinosaurs and rainbows and minivans and other weird stuff. And we'd play just like in between two indie rock bands or two punk bands at some random bar around the Midwest. And then slowly, as we made videos, that like teachers would share them and parents would see us and be like, I shared my stuff with your kid and he liked it too. And so it kind of progressed towards the kids thing, but we didn't, it's in listening to other kind of like kids and family bands, like they're either like in a band and they start a whole separate project that's a kid project, or they're like, our goal is to entertain kids. Whereas like, we're kind of like, sure, kids can listen to this too, I guess. So that's kind of the impetus of our band, but it's always been hinged on the live show. So everything we make, you know, for audio or for a visual in a video is to get you to come to the live show or understand moves in the live show, et cetera. So,
right. Right.
And what do you think? How was that? How was that little, elevator pitch?
Okay. I think it's great. I didn't know all that background. I knew a little bit, but I didn't know all of that. And you know, I didn't know totally where that you guys started in, you know, as far as the Cuckoo Kangaroo when you went out overseas. I mean, I didn't know that whole thing. And that's really interesting how that kind of developed and evolved. And it's almost like you found your calling through it. It's, you know, you found a niche with children, but it's also, and it is, it's really, when I went and saw the show here in Detroit, there were a lot of families there with kids, and we're like, well, we'd take, you know, my daughter, I think still a little bit young. My oldest is 3 and she could barely sit through Disney on Ice. So, but like, I think that like 4, 5 and up, it's appropriate. But I also thought that like the people that were there, that were just there hanging out, like even my wife and I, you know, we're adults. We had a great time. We were moving and we were dancing and we were singing along, and not just because she's seen the movies or the videos with her kids in class. It's because it's good and it's well done and it's good music. So, but it's really interesting to see how that kind of evolution of your group has happened.
I never knew. Yeah, it's been fun. We just always, to be honest, we just always say yes to stuff. That's how we've ended up. We've ended up here. Like, you know, that's how we just started, and we just don't really say no. Like somebody's like, hey, we're playing these bars. Hey, do you want to play my kid's birthday party in my garage? And we're like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then we just start. So that's cool. I mean, I would say that with any like entrepreneur, like small businesses, like that's how it gets hashed out, is like, you just say, yeah, I'll try that. Sure. Whatever. I don't have anything else going on. So,
right.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time at the show. Yeah. We see kids bands all the time. They're saying like, it's for kids and they're adults too. And it's like, sure. We don't really say that. I guess we've just accepted that we're like trying to be the weirdest kids band around now, but like our intensity is what we hopefully like can like prove to the adults. Like we try to bring it hard. So
you do. And you know what I like? You're bringing the music video back.
Yeah, where'd it go?
I'm a little bit, and I think we're close in age, I think, but I grew up, and I'm sure you might have too, during the MTV years where it was music television, where it was all music video, and I would watch it. I would stay up and I'd be like, okay, the Michael Jackson, I remember specifically the Michael Jackson Black or White video is going to premiere at 11 o'clock on this day, and I had to get the VCR ready and tape it and watch it, and you know, that whole thing. And it seems like it kind of fell off a little bit. It was more about the glitz and the glamour with music video, not about the music. And it's just, I like that you guys are doing the music video, you're doing good music, and then you're also putting, you know, fun interactive videos with it too. So that's kind of cool.
Well, thank you. Trying. So
that's what I mean by that, bringing the music video back, which I think YouTube has done a pretty decent job with too, you know?
Oh man, if you want music videos, there's millions being uploaded daily. So
yeah.
Trying to find that space within there is like crazy. So
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you're always coming up and creating new exciting things. I think I haven't watched yet, but I think didn't I just see you guys came out with another new video, Glitter or something?
Yeah, we have a new, yeah. And, yeah, we have a new single. We've always put out concept albums in the past. We had one about Panera, one of a motivational audio cassette. We had one about holidays, one about gross stuff like boogers and farts and zits. And I'm trying to think, there's like six more, one in about animals. And so we have all these other songs. We're like, we'll just put out a couple singles, some nice videos. Yeah. So the song's about glitter.
Right. And where does that come? I mean, you're always creating something and it's off the wall. Like you were saying, where do you guys get this inspiration from? Where are you finding these ideas, these crazy off the wall, fun ideas? How do you guys come up with that?
Oh, it's different every time. And the reason we make concept album is because it's like, it's tough to find ideas and like to know where to go. Like when there's an endless amount of ideas and topics, it's mainly like we're topical, like where some bands are writing about like the essence of love or like their day or a story like that. Like we like to like zone in on something. That's why we pick like a topic. Like we're going to talk about macaroni and cheese, but it can't just be a song like randomly about macaroni and cheese. It has to be like something about, we don't have a macaroni and cheese song. We probably should, but it has to be like about like maybe like how macaroni and cheese is like bad because of this reason, or like, hey, I like this brand of macaroni and cheese over this. I don't know. So, but anyways, with the concept albums, we like make boxes for ourselves to work within. Like, hey, we're going to make 10 songs and it's going to be, they all have to be about this topic. Sometimes with like our Critters album, we made 31-minute songs about animals. So like for that, like the idea about it was like the length of it. So it had to be like super short. That was really hard to do. And like so many of them. So I don't know. We make these boxes, but the ideas just kind of come from, we have a list of like themes that we like. And then it's just about finding the idea within the theme. So I don't know. We got a big list, and usually it takes a long time to crank out a song because they've just been kicking around forever. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them take like 4 years. Like we've been working on Glitter for a long time, and some of them just kind of like we're making an album. Like they talk about, like sometimes like famous bands talk about like, I wrote this song in 5 minutes or something. It's like, okay, right. That doesn't really work for us, but I don't know if that fully answered your question, but
no, it does. It's interesting.
I said, I don't know about six times. So
hey, maybe you know what though? Some of the best musicians are always with the, you know, they don't know. They don't know until it's down and it's recorded. They don't know. You know what I mean? Cause it's always a work in progress. So, and even after that, I'm sure you even probably with your music and, you know, even what I've done, whether it's writing or performing, it's like, I always feel like there's something that could be different, or I could have tweaked something a little bit more, to change it, to make it more, you know, effective or whatever. So, you know, I get it. I totally get it. And you,
we're kind of opposite in the sense of I want to release stuff even quicker. Like Neil's a little bit like, hey, let's like sit on this for a second and see if we like it. And we're always under the throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like mm-hmm. I'd rather release 20 songs. Maybe people like three of them. Okay. We'll keep going on those three. We'll like mm-hmm. play them instead of like, I'm really bad at self editing. I'd rather just release everything and right. go. So that's why it's good to have a duo partner that says like, pump the brakes, dude.
Yeah. That does help. And I'm sure that's good. You kind of feel like you guys play off each other well in those aspects. So, which is really neat. So, you know, we talked a little bit at the start of the show about, movement, and in court you do your videos more so that you could see the movement. So when you come to a live show, you can do the movement. So why do you think that movement is so important, within music, and why do you guys encourage it so much at your shows?
Oh, well, that's kind of, I feel like that's one of the main reasons like for music in the first place, is like for movement, like to dance and to like feel. Like sometimes you can sit and feel, and that's nice for certain types of music, but anything that has like drums or a beat, like you're meant to like groove to it and move to it. And so all we're doing basically on top of that is like on top of our melodies, it's like saying like, hey, you can move this way. Now we've kind of like painted ourselves into a corner. Like we have some like instrumental breaks where we're like, just dance. And people are like, you need to like show us a move. You've done it for like 45 minutes already. So, but I just think, I express myself through movement, through like dancing. Like all the time. Like, I just don't sit still. Like, I like to dance. So that's, it's maybe that's probably it. It's for me. I like it for me. I guess this band is just basically for Neil and I, and it's just kind of nice that other people like what we like too. Mm-hmm. So, but it never really worked out. It's worked in our favor in the sense, especially in the kids realm, that people are always like, can you make this educational song, or can you make the song about learning? And we're like, well, we're not really about that if you've listened to any of our songs, but we are about movement. We like dancing and like not sitting still. And so that's helped right. like ease that. But I don't know. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I think
your perspective,
I think movement and music is so important. You know, it's like you said, music is meant to make you move. It's meant to create emotion, to make you feel, well, I mean, usually it's meant to make you feel good. I mean, it can make you feel sad, but it's meant to invoke emotion. And I think movement goes hand in hand with that. And I think it's so important. And I encourage, like when I'm teaching, I encourage my kids all the time, when I'll explain a part that they're maybe not getting, like, especially in like a waltz type section, you know what I mean? That's got a different feel than they're used to feeling all the time. Like, move to this. How would you move to this? And usually that can be interpreted and it makes it sound better and it's more fun to play. And it's just much more interactive if you get the whole body involved rather than just, you know, if you've got an instrument, you're playing just the instrument. So I think it's huge.
Yeah, totally. I'm even like you were like, you said the word waltz and my body like started to like rock back and forth right. and like the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like right. that's like how it has to
yeah
move and go. And I even think about, like I was saying, like dance music, but even the quietest like folk music, like when we went to see like Sigur Rós, you know, it's like, or like, what's that Texas band, Explosions in the Sky. Like I see myself, even when I'm seated, like I'm rocking, like even when it's meant to be like an emotional, like it's like movement in your brain. Like I'm like moving to the music. Like I'm like feeling it, you know? So that's, I don't know. So it's not really like we're putting something different on this. It's like, that's kind of what music is meant to right. do. And I, to be honest, like I just want more. I want more dance songs. Like I want more cha-cha slides, and right. I want more people telling me what to do. So
the Vanga Boys, you need more Vanga Boys in your life.
That, I mean, that's Jock Jams is really, I mean, we played a Jock Jam song, I know, at that show. We really never play a cover ever, but we played a cover that tour. but Jock Jams is really essential. Like, it's essentially like what our band is. It's like, we're just trying to be like a bunch of chants and a bunch of things to kind of get you like shook up a little bit, I right. guess. So
right, and if it gets kids moving, man, because you know there's a lot of stagnant, not moving, not being mobile anymore. If it gets them moving, if they see a YouTube video and it's making them dance, then man, that makes me happy. Because
yeah, we just fell into that, man. That was quite the crazy thing, like the movement videos in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, everything in our whole band has been just like a, whoa, cool, that's an accident. That worked out. But yeah, it works kind of perfect. Like, we just made those first like Brain Break videos that we have, you know, mostly like they're just like follow along, dance along videos. Mm-hmm. Like, we just made them with a camcorder. Basically, we were playing so many colleges and people were coming back to see us again. And so we're like, okay, we're a one trick pony. We're just a gimmick. People could get bored really quickly, come seeing us. So like, we made these things like, watch these videos and come back, and so you can learn more dances to our songs. And then it just kind of took off that way. But they were just made for, you know, 18-year-olds. Well,
and it works though.
And it works
for kids.
Yeah, it's just simple.
It's simple, and it's proven. It's proven that the kids need breaks and they need that release time, because especially in elementary, you know, I'm pulling out my education card here, I guess, but it's important for them. And I don't do a ton of elementary anymore, but it's important for them to have movement. And when they lose recess and they lose those things because of testing, you're providing that with those videos, those kids, some places where they don't do recess, for them to have that active release and that engagement.
Oh man, that's so messed up. When teachers, it's nice that they play our videos. It's so kind. But when they're coming being like, we had testing this week and our kids were stuck inside for 8 hours. Yeah. And then we like, all they did was like move back and forth to your video. I'm like, that's an honor that you're playing our videos, but like, that's so screwed up. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy. But you know, it does work, and it does help give them a release. And I've seen lots of kids get excited by the different things, and just watching even on your guys' Instagram feed to see the folks that are sharing what they do in their classroom and how excited they get is pretty neat. This is going to be a really good chance for us to take a short break. Don't forget the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast and many other parenting podcasts on their app that you can get from the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Stick around after this episode to hear about another great podcast that if you like the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. We're going to talk a little bit more with Brian, all cuckoo kangaroo stuff and music and families, a lot of fun conversation to be had. So stick around after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Brian from Cuckoo Kangaroo. Quite honestly, one of my more favorite groups as of late. I'm playing it in the car with the kids, and you know, it's one of those albums that you can leave on and leave it on in your car after the kids are gone back to daycare or wherever they're going. So it's great music. It's a lot of fun. I actually read somewhere, and it might have been on the stuff that came from your PR folks, but I saw you guys were compared to like the Beastie Boys a little bit. Did you see that? Oh yeah.
That's like an elevator pitch that has hung with us forever. Yeah. Sesame Street meets the Beastie Boys. That's pretty
cool. I would agree. It
could be whatever. The Wiggle meets Weezer, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. We have our first couple records were more, you know, just like real raw beats and just like straight hip hop records. And Neil is way more into hip. I'm more of like a, I like punk music. I mean, we both like bond over so much music, but Neil likes hip hop more than I do, but we still got some hip hop mm-hmm. songs here and there. I mean, to be compared to the one and only Beastie Boys, RIP yeah. Adam Yauch. That's an honor.
That was one of the best shows I ever saw was the Beastie Boys.
Oh, what tour did you see them on?
Tour with Tribe Called Quest, which was pretty sweet. 1998. I was a senior in high school.
Whoa, were they playing?
Yeah, but
in
I
arena?
Was like 12th row. It was in the round. It was pretty sweet. Yeah,
really in the round. Both played it.
Tribe opened up, and it was sweet. It was definitely one of those shows I'll never forget. I'll put it right up there with like my Prince show and my Paul McCartney show that I've seen. So,
what? Wait. So wait. Tribe. Were all four of them there? Yeah. Or were they fighting
they
at
were
that
all
time?
There. It was when they did that. That was the White Album that they had.
Fife and Jarobi and everyone was there?
So.
They were all
I believe
there?
So. Don't quote me for sure because I'm not 100%, but I thought they were. I could be wrong, though. I'm sure somebody will let me know if I'm wrong. But
That's okay. What a great show.
It was
what
a great experience. And you know what? I only knew Find My Way. I think that was the tune. I really only knew that tune because it was popular then. I think that was the title of the tune. Yeah. I could be wrong with that too, but it opened me up to a lot of their other stuff, which is cool, which was more jazz and fusion with freestyle and hip hop, which is totally cool. And it was just really cool. It was a great film.
Yeah. They're such an, I mean, both bands are just incredible and they push the mm-hmm. hip hop medium to such a new level. Is. So have you seen that documentary? I think it's called like Beats and Rhymes. I'm trying to think who it was made by. It's made by this Michael Rappaport, I think is his name. He's like a feisty. Anyways, their documentary is great. If you want to get in to know more about, you know, Q-Tip and Fife Dawg and how they kind of came to be and their collective and mm-hmm. We were talking about Beastie Boys though. But is that the new one that?
Yes, it's great.
That Mike and. Is that the one that they went on the book tour about?
I didn't see the photos in it, which kind of stinks. I wish that kind of was like an addendum to like the audiobook, like they had a PDF that went with it. There might have been, I might have missed it because I think I checked it out of the library. But the audiobook is read by like tons of famous people that like have had interactions or just are really into the Beastie Boys. So it's really, really cool. So it might be like, one of the Beastie Boys is reading the book, and then you might have like what's the dude's name that was in Parks and Rec, the guy that plays do you ever see that show? I can't remember his name in real life.
You mean Adam Scott?
No, Adam Scott, or the guy that's got the mustache, the weird dude.
Oh, yeah, the guy that played
Ron. Ron Swanson. That guy reads like a chapter. So, like, I mean, it's a pretty cool book. It's a pretty cool book, and it's really interesting to hear all these different people. Nick Offerman.
Yeah, that was his name.
So it's a cool book. So if you like that stuff, check it out. It's a good book.
Okay.
So, yeah,
check it out.
Right.
you got so, it. Yeah. Mike D, know, MCA.
What's your favorite Beastie Boys tune?
Yeah. Oh, tune? Jeez.
Or we can go album. I don't know. If it's easier to do album. Let's do album. That's fine.
Well, no, because with them, I came to them, you know, I'm 33. Am I 33? I'm 33. So I'm under their like main target demographic, you know? So I didn't ever come to them. I got exposed to the Beastie Boys because we had a Swiss foreign exchange student stay in our house when I was like 12 and he was 18. And he taught me about Beavis and Butthead and the Beastie Boys. You know, he bought License to Ill on cassette and was like playing it. And I think it like made my mom mad or something. But that was kind of the beginning. Because for that, I was just like, I listened to like Disney soundtracks, Billy Joel, and probably like one or two Beatles albums. You know, so I was like, what are these sounds? It was crazy. But if I'm going to be honest, I'm such like a dance guy, like the groove, it's probably going to be Body Movin' is the song that I could listen to.
That tune. Every time it comes on, I love it. I think it's a great jam. And that's off Hello Nasty, isn't it? That's the tour I went to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, people love, you know, Hello Nasty, License to Ill and like Paul's Boutique and stuff, but I really love the Five Boroughs album, like that comeback album that they had. Like I love it. So this is nice. This is nice that we get to talk about Beastie Boys. Most people just go like, oh, you like the Beastie Boys. Okay. On to the next thing.
No, I love the Beastie Boys. I think my favorite Beastie Boys tune is, it's off License to Ill and it's, Paul Revere. I love that tune. I don't know why. I think it's the reverse beat on it. Isn't that where they sample the beat backwards?
They didn't.
So it's got that air that yeah, air they were gap talking that about goes backwards like do 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 yeah that's
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know, I think that sample is just totally grooving. I don't know, it's awesome. It's pretty cool. I think that's my favorite. They're
grooving guys making stuff in the barn.
So, you know, we're going to shift our gears here a little bit to parenting because you're a dad. And so do any of your ideas for your guys' music come from your parenting experience at all? Has it ever like worked its way into any of your writing?
No, not really. Yeah, that kid doesn't get to take any credit. Well, not really in the sense that like it'd be different if we were making, like, for instance, that band that we toured with, the Aquabats. Like they created Yo Gabba Gabba. And so like they had those kids that were that age and then they were writing songs for other kids doing those things in that age range. Or like they had, their kids were just a little older. Like they were more like instructional things. Like there's a party in my tummy is about like eating vegetables or like don't bite your friends and stuff like that. Like I feel like if our band was more focused in not being like so like snotty and sarcastic, like it definitely would, like 100%. And I have those songs written, like I've been writing those songs. They just don't make their way into like what Cuckoo Kangaroo is, you know? So like those little jingles and stuff like that, I'm always singing like while I'm, you know, changing clothes, like while he's changing clothes or he's brushing his teeth or that kind of stuff. So they just haven't made their way that way. And you know, he's two, he's so new, you know, so he hasn't made that. But definitely the themes and stuff, the themes of what we do will work off of what he does more. Because we don't really watch TV, but if we ever did, we watched Sesame Street. And I just like all the vibes of Sesame Street. That's my main mantra.
Yeah.
I like Gonger.
Oh, yeah, Gonger. Have you ever met Gonger? The food truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Gonger and Cookie Monster Foodies. So to be honest, like it hasn't fully like influenced it yet, even though it seems like such a thing. But It's coming.
You guys, so it's kind of the flip side of that then, like reversing it the other way, do you incorporate music into your parenting or anything like that? Is there music all the time, or how do you guys kind of handle music in the house?
Yeah. All the time. Music queued up at all times. Like, we don't really have a, sometimes it's quiet, but, and not all the same, like, but yeah, a lot of music, not a lot of like shows and screens. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we like don't, like we're not that vibe, but yeah, music all the time. And a lot, the first thing people ask, well, people always ask me like two things when it comes to family, like, oh, does your wife come out on the road with you and your son? It's like, no.
I can
no.
picture him at the Majestic.
The road is like not.
In Detroit.
Yeah, the road is not fun. It's so boring if you had nothing to do, you know? And we're also like not making that kind of skrill. But, and the second thing they always ask is like, oh my gosh, do you like play all your music for your son? It's like, no, not at all. Like, I don't like listen to my own music, but he definitely gets to hear all the demos and stuff. So I guess he does influence the stuff because like, as we're working on stuff, even the past like 2 years, you know, you get a new take that you come back, or like Neil writes a new verse to something and it's like, I'm going to play that on the speakers while we're hanging out. And some of it he dances to, and some of it he's like, right, whatever, I'm just going to keep like making this plastic pancake for you, you know? So I subconsciously, that does play like into it. So
it's like the
music all the time.
Philosophy. Have you ever heard this where, he would go into his meetings, his release meetings or whatever they were going to release, and everybody was invited. If they were there at that certain time in Hitsville at its studio, if they were there at that certain time and they were listening to these records, and he would ask the question, if you were down to your last dollar, would you buy this record or would you buy a sandwich? And he's the story goes that everybody always took the sandwich, but it was when there was a hesitation or a reaction is when it was like, that record's going to be a hit, and that's when they would release it and they would put it out. So it's kind of, well, yeah, cool. I'm sure you get reactions from your son and seeing how if it piques an interest, then obviously there's something there. So that's pretty cool. So
yeah, if they sense it. You too, oh, probably. You got music all the time.
Always. And you know what's funny? You will listen to kids' stuff. My oldest daughter starting to be into that whole princess scene that I tried to avoid, but I'm not going to like stop it because that's her outlet and that's what she likes. When she was little, like her favorite tune, she would like get up and move, and I get a reaction out of, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, Dance to the Music. Like she would just groove to that tune. And now it's not, it's kind of, that music's kind of going away. Although when we're in my car, it's usually I put together playlists of, not music that's not appropriate, but maybe not something that you would put on a children's album. So I try and expose my kids to any type of music, whether it's, you know, Beastie Boys, if it's an appropriate song, or if it's, you know, Prince, or if it's, you know, just a well-written tune. You know, it could be a Randy Newman tune, You Got a Friend in Me, which is a great tune, you know? So it all depends, you know?
Yeah, totally. And
show tunes or whatever, Broadway, it's I just try and find stuff that is appropriate, but is good quality music. So that's kind of where we stand.
Yeah, this is more of like a philosophical debate, but Neil and I believe that, you know, even though we're like marketed sometimes, we're marketed as like a kids band. Like we don't really think that there is like kids music and not kids music. You know, there is a way to like market it, but we were at Austin City Limits Festival and any kid can come in for free, really? Under 10 with a parent ticket. So they have like this kid area and we played on the kids stage. But I mean, I get it. Like if there's cussing or like expletives in the music, like, hey, you want to censor that out. But beyond that, like, I don't know, soul music, every kind of music can work for every kind of kid. You know, it doesn't have to be.
I mean, you could kind of works all over the place. James Brown, so, you know, like some of that stuff is a little bit pushing it, but really, is it good music? And is it really at the forefront when you're listening to good music? You know, you really could argue a lot of that stuff, even older music. So,
yeah. And to be honest, unless it's like in your face, like you really have to listen
for the innuendos.
You have to
stuff.
Listen for, unless it's an expletive. I mean, the contradiction, like to some people that talk about, our poop song is too graphic or whatever. It's like, you let your, this is kind of a weird angle to go, but like, you let your kids listen to Kidz Bop. which is just kids singing sexualized lyrics. Like, but that's cool. I don't get it. So like, that's the kind of like, when people are like, this is kids' music and this is not kids' music, it's like, I don't think that I would put on
Eminem in my car and let my kid listen to it. But
no, that's what I'm that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Is like when there's expletives and stuff like that, that's a different game. But when we're talking about like, I don't know, we're talking about Sharon Jones, we're talking about Ben Harper, we're talking about
go back to whatever, then it's like in ragtime music and things like that. There's all kinds of innuendos in that stuff, or just go back and look at the lifestyles some of the people live in
just about the music.
And it's crazy. But I totally agree. I listen to some of the stuff that they'll put on Kids Bop, and I'll go, wait a minute, wow, you're actually gonna okay, we're going there. So you know, it is very interesting. But like I said, if music's good and it's not, like you said, it doesn't have a lot of swearing or cussing in it, or it's very just in your face inappropriate, we'll listen to it. You know, I have no problem listening to that, but that's my opinion. You know, maybe other people I'm sure that listen to the show or whatever may have something different, but that's kind of where we're at too.
Hey, you got the mic. They're just listening. They can go start their own podcast. Right.
So we like to close out our show with asking our guests, we have a reoccurring segment, Things We Can't Wait to See Through Our Children's Eyes. Is there something that you're really excited to see through your son's eyes that you experienced as a child, or anything? It could be anything from a trip to an experience to a life, you know, milestone, anything like that, something that you just really enjoyed when you were a child, or when even as an adult, that you can't wait to see your child go and kind of experience for themselves.
Oh man, I should have read your prompt. I could have been ready for this. I could have been on it. Well, oh man. Yeah, I think it's maybe about like playing in a band and see how he like reacts to that. I guess that would be the thing, to see if he even like gets emotion from that. Cause that's where I get like my biggest high, is like performing and stuff like that. So that'd be a cool thing to see. Trips. I mean, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, we kind of do most of that stuff. So like going into nature, seeing certain things, but yeah, to see those extremes, like the first time you see the Grand Canyon, or, you know, you see some like epically large thing, it's just kind of like, whoa. Or like,
yeah,
I don't know, see the Muppets live.
I wish they would tour the Muppets. That's
the one that they have.
I wish they would come back. Somebody's got to, so one of these production companies that does all these Disney on Ices and stuff has got to get with the Hensons and start doing something with it. I mean, they're already doing Sesame Street, but you got to bring back, man,
I don't know,
you got to bring it back.
I think they kind of keep that away. I mean, when they put that Muppet show on ABC, you know, they went back to the old school Muppets, and like people got so outraged over like Piggy dating and stuff like that. And it's like, hey, they weren't together for like four movies and like television seasons. You
and
know?
It was an adult the girl, show.
The girl
it was
can
an adult
go
show
date.
When he released it.
The girl can go on Bumble.
The Muppet show tonight was geared towards adults.
Totally. And,
you know, it kind of found its way.
You should check out the Defunct Land, YouTube Defunct Land podcast about Jim Henson, because they talk about Muppet Babies, they talk about the Muppets, they talk about Sesame Street. It's great. It's like 6 25-minute like YouTube episodes. But the thing I am excited for, something I didn't do, that the only thing I really am going to push my son to try, is to like skateboard. I never did it, and I wish. I took lessons when I took lessons with a bunch of 10-year-olds when I was like 22 at the YMCA. But I want him to try it as like a kid and see if he gets into it.
I had a real narrow board in the early 80s, but never really went much past just scooting around on it a little bit. So I was too afraid I was going to break something. So I scooting around.
Scooting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right?
You're a musician. Yeah, you don't want to mess up your drumming wrist.
Brian, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today. I feel like we could talk for hours. We do. So I do.
Yeah, we got some good riffing going.
This is your chance. Where can folks find you, find your stuff, and how can they find out about where you're touring next, and maybe you're coming to their city so they can get tickets?
Yeah. Everything is on our website, cuckookanger.com shows. That's kind of the anchor for everything, but songs are everywhere. Videos are all on YouTube. But we're kind of taking we're going to hit all of America and Canada. Eventually it's, instead of doing one like 72 day tour, because I have a son now, we're taking everything in like 2 week chunks. So we will get to everybody. It will just be a slow rollout. So I don't know when this is coming up, but we got some Texas dates on there. We're in the Midwest right now, and we'll be hitting the West Coast in January, maybe some East Coast next April, and Canada in the summer. Right. So we'll be kind of all over the place. So cool. There's your plug. Lots more videos and stuff.
Oh, no worries.
Out.
I always do.
That's a good plug. Yeah. Thanks for the plug time. That's so great. Thanks for repping your stuff, our stuff to your band kids. Maybe someday they'll want it. Maybe they'll, they should, if any of them are in a band, Neil and I always like to hear like young people in their bands, their musical projects and stuff like that. Tell them
to email us. My wife and I, and I'm sure my daughters at some point will be checking you out too again when you come back through the Detroit area, because we had so much fun at your show. Well, we're looking forward to it. Some of the weird,
back in the mitten,
quirky stuff that we do, but we love it. It's a great place. So, thank you. Thanks again for being on.
Appreciate
Brian.
Your Don't time today. Thank you.
Part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you have a question for the Dad Experience, or you want to be on the show, or you have a show idea or a question for a guest, email us experienceanddad@gmail.com, or you can search for us, the Dad Experience Podcast, on all the major social networking platforms. So until next time, thanks for listening.
100 episodes
Until next
and counting.
Time,
Don't mess
thanks
with
for
them.
Listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes.